A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Today is the 14th of December, 2020, for the podcasters. And, I was off Friday, doctor's appointment, everything's fine, and now I am back. And so the rest of this week, and then I'm off for the rest of the year, and we'll have plenty of repeats and things like that. So if you got questions or comments, you want to call in, 877-207-2276. I'm sitting right here. And let's see, you got five open lines, so I want to hear from you. All right, how many people we got watching? It usually starts off slowly. And, yeah, that's right. I gave him the code. Yeah, Charlie's looking for a code. And for those of us who know what that means, knows what it means. So, I gave him the code. So, I don't know what why I can't see it. Anyway, Charlie gets in, and what we do, people watch the show a lot of times. And, yeah, that's it. That's the right code. I don't know what it is. So he can try it again, and I'll put a new one in if he does it again. So we got four open lines, 877-207-2276. I hope you had a great weekend. I had a little bit of a celebration for my birthday. It was great, and now I'm getting older and older. I look in the mirror, and I go, what happened? I remember when I used to be nice-looking, good body, and I have abs. Now I have ab. I got one big ab, so I got to, you know, I don't know. That's how it goes. But at least I'm still humble. You know, that's good, too. You want to be humble, you know. So that's what I tell people. I say, yeah, I'm humble. They don't agree with me, but that's okay. I just tell them because they don't know. All right. Hey, look, if you are doing any shopping on Amazon.com, all you have to do is go to smile.amazon.com, and you can set up a charity so that whenever you use Smile in front of your purchases at Amazon, then what happens is a little donation goes in to whatever a ministry or whatever it is that you have set up, and it'll check it out. You can do that. And so we just got a check actually today from that on the quarter. We get it quarterly, and it comes in, you know, it's a nice little bit of help. So you know, I'm pretty grateful for that. So that's one thing you can do. We also have, let's see, we have a wish list on Carm if you want to go check it out on the right hand side. You'll see the wish list things. Click on that. And before we get to the callers, let's see what else we got. We are doing, we started on Friday, we're doing a matching funds drive. So anything that you send in, you know, for donations will be matched. So if you send in $10, $10 will be matched to that. So your 10 becomes 20. And the higher up you go, the more it becomes. And there you go. And all you got to do for that is go to carm.org/donate. And all the information you need right there. If you're already donating and it's already, you know, a setup thing, recurring donations, then it won't be counted. But if you increase that a little bit, then that increase will be counted. And if you make a one-time donation, that'll be counted. So there you go. That's nice and easy. I like to call it quick and slick. So there you go. All right. Why don't we just get on the phones now? Let's get to Thomas from Florida. Thomas, welcome. You're on the air.
Howdy, partner.
Hey. Wow. Wow, that was a good feedback. Just see me jump. I'm looking at myself on the... I'm watching myself on the 20-second feedback, and I just jumped. It's pretty funny. Okay, sorry. So I'm laughing. What do you got, buddy? What do you got?
Mac, I hope you're having a good evening.
yeah, I am now.
Yeah, I've been praying that and the Lord provide for all your financial needs. And thanks for sharing that at the beginning of the show. So
yeah, well, we have those needs, and a lot of ministries do.
Absolutely. It's biblical. But I'd like to ask that another time, but a question about that. But today, recently at my house, we've had visitors from Israel and Messianic Jews.
Okay.
Okay, and they were talking to me a bit about their views, and got into eschatology a bit, and they said that they're really adverse to what's called replacement theology.
Yeah, I could see why.
Mm-hmm. And he said that that's predominantly an amillennial view, and my church is amillennial. I'm still learning a lot, still have a lot to learn, and I know we're an expert. I've been reading this really good book, More Than Conquerors. You might be familiar with it.
Heard of it.
Explain the amillennial view. Anyway, I want to understand replacement theology, because whenever I think, whenever it comes to mind, the first verse comes to mind is, those are not Jews who are Jews outwardly, but those who are Jews inwardly, right. Circumcision of the heart, and those right. are God's people, Jews by ethnicity, and then Gentiles by adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to Israel, is there a place in eschatology for the nation of Israel?
Yes. Absolutely, yes. Now, I'm amillennial, and I hold to a small view of replacement theology, but more like a temporary replacement. And so what replacement theology is, for people who don't know, replacement theology is that the church replaced Israel, period, replaced Israel. And no, I don't agree with that. We functionally have replaced Israel in that we're the ones promoting the Messiah, where the Jews are supposed to have done that. Now, hopefully your Jewish friend knows that God works covenantally, and he established a covenant with the nation of Israel. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 15:24 that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was not sent to the whole world, he was only sent to Israel. But because Israel rejected the Messiah as a whole, that's not to say individuals didn't receive him. They did. But Israel as a nation rejected the Messiah, and so we, the Gentiles, were grafted in. And so, therefore, we're benefiting from the gospel message, which is prophesied in Genesis 12:3, and Paul referenced that in Galatians 3:8, calling service stuff. You can research that later. Now, so this is what it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And 26, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So that's 25, 26, and 27 of Romans 11. So God is not done with Israel. If replacement theology, and there's different degrees of it, was true in the sense that the church completely replaces Israel, God's done with Israel. Obviously not. Right there. Plus, we go to, I think it's Revelation, is it Revelation 14, I'm trying to remember where, the 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes. And so they had 144,000 male virgin Jews, and they are anointed to preach and teach. So that's from Israel, and that's going to be eschatological, and it has not happened yet. So God's not done with Israel. He is not done with Israel at all. So I don't agree with
that. That's a future event, the 144,000.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Sorry to cut you off, Matt.
No,
you
okay.
said the 144,000 is a future event.
Yeah, it's the, let's see, 144,000 Revelation. Let's see, where is that? That is Revelation 7, 9. Let's see. It's been a while, so I've had to go after that. Maybe someone in the chat room can help me out here. I should know that kind of stuff. I really should. Let's see, Revelation 7 is where it says. Interesting. Yeah, here we go. So, Revelation 7, I'll have to remember that. I saw four angels that said, do not harm the earth, and stuff like that. I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And it goes on from Revelation 7, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And after these things, I looked, behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, every nation, etc. So, he's not done with Israel because they are the bondservants of God, from verse 3. Do not harm. This is what it says. It says in verse 3, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of God on their foreheads. And I heard a number of those who were sealed. So there's debate about what those are. But it looks like it has to do with the issue of the Jews who are going to be anointed to preach and teach, when they realize who the Messiah is, and some say during the Great Tribulation period. So,
okay. And as amillennials, we do believe in a Great Tribulation period.
Not all do. I do. I'm amillennial. I'm what's called a pessimistic amillennialist. I coined that term for my own self. I teach something called depressatology. But I do, because I believe it's going to get worse and worse. And in fact, I'll be preaching on this Sunday coming up. But my view is, and I'm not saying my view is the right one. This is just where I hold it. I'm not going to die in this hill. But I'm definitely amillennial, and I've got a lot of evidence to support that. But I believe that there's going to be a literal seven-year tribulation, because Jesus was cut off, according to Daniel 9, 24-27. And he's going to finish his work and his ministry work, and he's going to come back. But the rapture is going to occur when he comes back. And what a lot of people don't figure out is out of Matthew 13, verse 30, the parable of the wheat and the tares. You know, the wheat are the good, the tares are the bad. And they said, hey, should we tear up the tares? He says, no, unless you tear up the wheat also. Wait until the end of the age. That's the critical issue, the end of the age. There's only two ages, this age and the age to come. At the age to come, we have eternal life. We have no marriage or whatever, married or given in marriage. It's that eternal state. And he says, allow both to go together till the end of the age, and I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares. So when he comes back to get his people, apparently the first ones gathered are the wicked. And where are they gathered? Well, he answers the question in Luke 17, two men in the field, one is taken, one is left. The one who are taken are the wicked, not the good. I will die on that hill, because that's what the context demands. sorry, pre-tribbers on that one. And then in Luke 17, when they ask Jesus where they taken, he actually answers the question. And he says, where the body is, the vultures gather. So, and I also lean towards the idea that Satan, I know he was bound when Jesus was there on the earth, because Jesus said so in Matthew 12, 22-32. He said he was. He had to bind the strong man in order to plunder his house, because he was talking about casting out demons, and Jesus was doing that. And he said, this is how you do it. The strong man's going to be bound. And he talked about Satan. So Satan's bound, but some amillennialists, and I lean this way, say that Satan's been let loose to gather the nations together to war. World War I, World War II, all these wars we've had. In 1900s, we've had 100 million, at least 100 million deaths from wars all over the world. So, you know, no
the Democrats would love that to happen in America.
Oh, they would. Yeah, they would love that, and they would be behind it so that they could make us have our papers, so that we have to have papers to be able to go from one place to another place to buy, sell, eat, who knows. And
I called you a few weeks ago saying how I'm really worried about my job forcing me to get a vaccine, and it's not going to let me in until they see my papers. And
yeah,
that's really going to be a hard day.
If the vaccine is doesn't have any fetal cells in it, I don't have a problem with it. Because if there was a plague going around, they had a vaccine for it, fine. I mean, you know, I had a polio shot when I was younger, or measles shot, or whatever it was. The stuff when I was younger, I had any problem with that stuff. But because of the political climate and how the leftist wacko morons want to control us, then it becomes another issue to decide. You want to hold? We're going to break it. Okay? Hold on.
No, Matt. Thank you for your answer.
All right, man. God bless.
Yes, sir.
All right, hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Tony from Georgia. Tony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Good. Matt, I'm a Protestant, and my question is, as a Reformed Christian, you consider Arminians as brothers, but not Catholics. What's the difference?
Arminians versus
Right.
Okay. An Arminian...
Why you consider Arminians brothers, right?
Arminians are... Catholics are not, yeah, because Arminians don't add works to salvation where the Catholics do, and the works issue is one of the essential doctrines of the Christian faith. The Bible clearly says that you cannot add any works to salvation, Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5, Galatians 3:1-3, Galatians 5:1-5, Galatians 2:16, 2:21. And so clearly that's what the issue is. And the Roman Catholic Church says in paragraph 2028 of the Catholic, 2068 of the Catholic Catechism that there's you obtain salvation by faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. So that is a false gospel. Arminians don't hold to that. Arminians don't hold to the Reformed distinctives. But they do believe in justification by faith alone and Christ alone. And they believe in the essentials, you know, the Trinity, the deity of Christ, hypostatic union, resurrection, imputation, things like that. And so they're within orthodoxy in that sense. However, if an Arminian were to say that they can lose their salvation and to keep their salvation, they have to be good and keep certain laws, then that would be a false gospel. But that's just something we got to work with people and help them out, you know, and teach them what the truth is. That make sense?
Yeah, may I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Well, so I've heard you say that there are Christians in the Catholic Church despite of Catholic theology. Mm-hmm. So how do you know someone who just has like a simple misunderstanding versus someone who's lost?
By talking to them. You could have someone, theoretically, who's born again, who doesn't know anything, just goes across the street to a Roman Catholic church. They think that's what it is. And it could be in there for a few months. They might mistakenly pray to Mary, you know. And after a while, they're going, wait, something's just not right. And then they could leave. So there could be people who, you know, are in that, such that state. And there are also different levels of Catholicism. In America, it's pretty much Protestantized, but in foreign countries, oh my goodness, it is bad. It's Catholicism unleashed, and it is idolatrous. Oh, it's so idolatrous. As a matter of fact, I went to church, different church, a buddy and I were going to different churches. We went to a Mormon church, we went to a Catholic church in the same day, and we went to, you know, this Catholic church, and he's never been in one before, and he was stunned at all the idols that are out around there about Mary, Mary this, Mary that. Even on the table where they offer the sacred communion Eucharist stuff, there was a picture of Mary with a little baby Jesus, on the front. It's just, oh, idolatry. So, I forgot what the original, that's right, salvation. So the Arminians, not Armenians, but the Arminians, they do not worship Mary. They don't add works of salvation like the Catholic Church does. That's why the Catholic Church is not within Christianity, but Arminians are. Okay.
Great. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Amen. You're welcome, buddy. All right. God bless. All right.
All right. Merry Christmas.
You too, man. Merry Christmas. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Four open lines. Give me a call. Let's get on the phones with Frank from Raleigh, North Carolina area. Yeah.
Hey.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Hey. Doing all right. Doing all right. Hanging in there.
My question is, or my thought, and I just want to get your take on it, is recently I've been looking up and watching videos about this computer chip that there looks like almost like a grain of rice or something.
Yep.
That they're putting in people's, sometimes I don't know if it started in Sweden, but I think it's trying to migrate into the United States, and I was watching some videos on how they do it and stuff. Not necessarily saying that's the mark of the beast. What I'm saying is, looking at the end times prophecies and stuff like that, you think that's kind of could be a segue, or get your take on how that might play a part one day, since they're implanting it in people's hands and stuff?
Right. And if you don't have a hand, because in Muslim culture, they cut off the right hand, maybe it's on the forehead.
Right.
We don't know. But, you know, so it's like we're talking about the vaccine. You know, my wife was listening and texted me some stuff from a doctor regarding the vaccine. She texted me, traditional vaccine supply introduce pieces of a virus to stimulate an immune reaction. The new mRNA vaccine is completely different. It actually injects, or it's called transfection, injects molecules of synthetic genetic material from non-humans, non-human sources into our cells. Once in the cells, the genetic material interacts with our transfer DNA, RNA, to make a foreign protein that supposedly teaches the body to destroy the virus being encoded. Note that these newly created proteins are not regulated by our own DNA and are thus completely right. foreign to ourselves. Now, if that's true, could that be the mark of the beast? And the reason I ask is because all you need is a catalyst. Now, here's the thing. I remember years and years and years ago watching a certain show, and a general came on, and he said they could open up a vial, of just a vial, and put it on a desk in the Pentagon, and 2 days later, Russians will start dropping dead. He said this like 30 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. Right. I never forgot that. You see, all you need is a thing, whatever it's called, the agent, and then you need a catalyst, and the catalyst activates the agent that's been embedded. What worries me is that if they can put something into your DNA, and they can, if they can, have a catalyst, they can kill you.
Right.
They could, I don't know.
Correct me if I'm, and I know this is just, I was just trying to get your take on it. I was just asking, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because the mark of the beast, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the mark of the beast is supposed to come in the Great Tribulation. Is that correct?
Yes. Now, here's the thing. It looks like the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period starts off with peace because some suspect there's going to be a lot of trouble. He'll come on the scene. And so we don't know. In fact, more of this note, my wife texted me. The COVID vaccines are mRNA vaccines, which are a completely new type of vaccine. No mRNA vaccine has ever been licensed for human use before. Right. In essence, we have absolutely no idea what to expect from the vaccine. We have no idea if it will be effective or safe. So if that's true, I'm not taking it.
Yeah, my wife works in the medical field, and she works in the medical field. So, yeah, she's shaking her head when you're talking about some of this stuff. It relates to her.
Oh, so she's affirming by shaking her head, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. She works in like federal. They were even doing one of those warp speed projects at one time.
Hey, hold on, I want to hear about this. Okay, we got a break coming up. I want to hear about this. Maybe get her on the line. She can tell us if she knows. Okay. Hey, we'll be right back, folks. After these messages, we have 4 open lines. Give me a call 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's the bottom of the hour. If you want to give me a call, we have 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Let's get back on the line with Frank from Raleigh, North Carolina. Frank, welcome. You're back.
Welcome. So, yeah, my wife was just even looking up some of the stuff. I mean, like I say, she was just, I don't know that much about the medical stuff, but I mean, even what she was just looking up to affirm what you were just saying and what she was just saying, it's something that's supposed to teach ourselves, I guess, how a new way of trying to, instead of like the polio vaccine, I guess, just like, boom, give you, or like flu vaccine or whatever, this is some new method, you know what I mean? So if it says it can teach ourselves something good, it also probably could be taught to teach ourselves how to do something bad, I would think.
Well, here's the thing, is that we have to know what's going on. If the vaccines are using fetal stuff, I'm not going to take it. And if it's going to be introducing foreign DNA, I'm not taking it. I'm sorry. I don't want foreign DNA in me. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what's going on. You know, that's it. And I'll just say no. Well, you go to jail. Then I'll go to jail. I don't want to take it. And so, you know, that's what it is. Now, is this a precursor for the Antichrist? Yeah, it is. When I say precursor, I don't mean the next step is Antichrist. I'm not saying that, but you have to understand that these kinds of things, it's called thesis antithesis. So 2020 has been a good year of the antithesis. And the antithesis has been change everything, shut everybody down, shut the businesses down, the government gets more power, churches are closed, you know, this kind of a thing. Wear masks, everybody, be compliant with what everybody says. I mean, I still remember the video of the guy out on a paddleboard, you know, 150 feet from shore by himself in California.
Right.
And they go out and get him, you know, because he didn't have a mask on. It's insanity. The insanity of this stuff. But yet, it's the status quo. It's 1984. You got to read the... Everybody's, I tell people, read the novel 1984. You just got to get it. 1984. Read the novel 1984. And you'll see a lot of what's happening then is happening now. And so, this conditions people to be weak-minded and compliant. If they're going to wear masks everywhere... Now, let me say, yeah, you need to wear masks if you're infected. When I had COVID and I just got over it, and I had to go get some medicine and stuff, I wore a mask. I voluntarily wore a mask because I was still, you know, infectious for 10 days or something like that. And so I wore a mask when I went out, but I tried not to go out. So I had any problem with that. That's not a problem, but I'm immune. Right. They say, yeah, you are, you aren't, whatever. So I don't need to take it. I've had it. My wife's had it. Let's move on. You know, herd immunity kind of thing. But what they wanted... Go ahead.
No, I was saying, I wasn't trying to go on and on about what you just said, but like, and also, you know, these curiosities, okay, well, if you take the vaccine, but then do we still have to wear a mask? Well, if you got the vaccine, do you have to wear a mask? You know what I mean? Like all these kind of...
Right. Well, you like don't but you don't have to if you're a politician, you know, you're a celebrity, then the rules don't apply to you. Okay, so there's some exempt. Yeah, it's just what it is. It's only for the sheep who you know, off towards the cliff. You know, and that's all it's for. So
right, and I need to know the Bible, and we need to watch out because, like Jesus said, you know the signs of the times. So you know what I mean? Look up because your redemption. I'm not saying right now he's coming back today, but we don't know. But you know what I mean? I think we need to be cautious and understand what's going on around us, like you said, and what they're trying to put in your body before you just accept it like a sheep going off the cliff.
Yeah. This is a serious, serious thing. And I'm not trying to scare people. In fact, I think this is confirmation of what I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. I'm going to be preaching on a section of Scripture dealing with having Christians be prepared for persecution, that we have to be prepared. You know, the pre-tribulation rapture thing, you know, I hope it's true, but I would be glad to have a public debate against it, because I just don't believe that they have anything to stand on. Now, that's my opinion, and granted, I could be just ignorant about some good arguments. I haven't heard any that I think are very convincing at all, but my point is, not to say that those who hold to that position are idiots or don't know the Bible as well as I do and all that kind of stupidity.
Right.
No, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that it has a potential to make people not prepare. And so if they're putting their hope in pre-tribulation rapture and it gets really bad, well, then what happens to their faith? Their faith has to be in Christ wherever it is, even if, like they do I've heard in North Korea, beating a guy who's a Christian, and they beat him until he's unconscious, and then they wake him up so they can beat him some more. And, you know...
Right. Can I say one thing on the pre-tribulation rapture, just real quick?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this dogmatically. I'm saying, to me, and I know you know the Bible way more than me, the most thing that if someone asks me about where it might be, and correct me if I'm wrong, I try to lead them to, I think, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 or something, where he talks about the church in Philadelphia, and he says, you know, I will keep you from the great time to come or something like that.
Time of testing,
yeah. And, right, so I was just wondering if that would be a good place to, I'm not saying it's dogmatic or it's 100% clear-cut. Like you said, you could argue the other way. I've heard a sermon on that part, and more than Thessalonians or something like that, and, you know, we're coming in a twinkle of an eye. And I've heard more of a kind of case that way on that verse or that right. section. But like yeah, I say, I think that's thought.
Yeah, that's got the best. That's one of the best verses I've seen to support. You know, two men are taken, one is left. That's not rapture, but
right.
not of the good. But you know,
right.
it says, "And keep the word of my perseverance. I'll also keep you from the hour of testing that's about to come upon the whole world." That's
right.
what needs to be examined.
Right.
And so, is it eschatological in that sense, or was it meant for them? And the word "world" was meant in the local area because it was
right.
often used
right.
that way. The whole world just meant the Mediterranean
right.
area. So,
yes, sir.
It's a tough one.
Right. But I'm agreeing with you to fall back on what you just said before that. I 100% agree with you. Let's not be blinded and just think, okay, well, hey, we got a good scapegoat just because I'm a Christian. And no matter when it happens, I'm not going to go through the persecution. I think that's narrow-minded, and that's setting ourselves up for failure if we do that.
Right. But I hope the pre-trib rapture stuff is true. I don't want to go through it because I'm a wimp. I don't like pain. It hurts
right.
too much.
Well, believe me, I was in the Marine Corps, but I also don't want to be beaten to death either. It'd be horrible to be stoned to death or beat to death.
Yes, it would be. And we'll enter into glory having been martyred for Christ, if that's a possibility. But I never thought
right.
it'd be a possibility within my lifetime, but in America, but now I'm getting suspicious that it will be. And
right,
I'm not trying to be paranoid.
We can see around even America, but definitely in other countries, how Christians are being persecuted.
Yes.
And really hard. So.
Yeah, it's happening.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time, sir. And I love your show.
Hey, man. God bless, buddy. All right.
God bless. Bye.
All right. That was Frank. Let's get to Brian from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Brian, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Matt.
Good evening.
Thursday night I was listening, and the last caller, this is all kind of going in line with what he was trying to speak about as far as the vaccine, and you asked him to call back tonight, and I haven't heard him yet. But I'm with you as far as being cautious, not being sheep, and not believing the pre-trib rap either. But one thing I am kind of curious about, I don't see that taking the mark of the beast is going to be like a trick. Like, oops, I didn't know
yeah.
that was it. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's a good point. We're not going to be tricked into it. It's those who knowingly do it. Because it says in Revelation 13, he deceives he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it is given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all the small and the great, the rich, the poor, the free men, slaves, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark. So that's
right.
the context.
Exactly. And so I don't think we need to, while we do need to investigate, to educate, I mean, we don't need to go Jehovah Witnesses and say, oh, it's medicine, no good for us.
Right. Oh, yeah, I agree. And this is why, you know, we got to be careful. Like I said to people, I don't have any problem with vaccinations. When I went to Philippines about 4 years ago, you know, I took vaccinations. That's fine. If I had to go to Africa for something, this is that, I'll take it, you know. But the COVID thing, if there's injected DNA into it that gets in your system, that's different.
Yeah,
don't bother me. You want to hold?
All right, good call, man. Thank you.
Okay, buddy, God bless. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines if you want to get in. Let's see, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Martin from Louisiana. Martin, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's up, man?
Oh. Huh?
I said, yeah, I hear you. So what's up?
Nothing much. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Dr. Layton Flowers. I know you had debated probably about a year or so ago. Like,
who?
I think the topic was total inability, I think it was, maybe a year or so ago.
Debated who?
Dr. Layton Flowers.
Oh, yeah, he and I have had a discussion before. I don't remember when it was. And so I'm looking to debate him again and really go to town on some stuff, because I think he's causing some serious problems, and he's gaining a following, and I think he's doing damage to the body of Christ. That's my opinion.
Okay. This is what I don't understand. I had my earbuds in. I took my earbuds out.
Okay.
Can you hear me better?
Yes, much better.
Yeah, this is my issue. I try to follow what he says when he says the word of God is sufficient to bring somebody to faith. And he keeps on saying things like, the word of God is enough. The word of God is enough. Like, he'll go to Hebrews 4:12
mm-hmm.
to defend what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody says the word of God is enough because of the eternal work of the Holy Spirit that convicts a person or changes their heart, he seems to take issue with that. He says right. that multiple times, you know. So like, okay, like if I would, because I had a dialogue with him on Facebook, so I asked the question, so what would be the difference if somebody one day heard the gospel, didn't receive it, the next day they heard the Quran and received it? Like, why did the person receive the Quran over the word of God? Like, because your okay. position, you're saying like the word of God is sufficient. Like,
What was his response?
No, his response is just the word of God was sufficient. The person just rejected God's appeal, and I'm like, what do you mean by appeals? He talks about God uses prophets, apostles, things like that to communicate His word. And I was like, okay, that shit. And I was like, Mr. Layton, that just sounds like information. That's the only thing it sounds like you're saying.
It's yeah, he like holds to libertarian free will.
No, I know. I know the whole thing about libertarian free will. I think he holds to like a soft libertarian free will.
Yeah,
but
and
like
he's
even he even talk. Yeah, he doesn't even like that term. I'm not even trying to get into all that.
That's all right.
Like, he even has a problem with, let's say, Arminianism or classical historical Arminianism, saying that there has to be a divine work of the Holy Spirit eternally to change a person's heart to enable them to have faith. But classical Arminianism would say God still permits people to reject this divine work of the Holy Spirit that enables and powers their will. Layton Flowers. Go ahead.
Layton denies the eternal work of God in salvation?
No, like he denies that there's an extra work of the Holy Spirit through the Word. What he is saying, and when you talk to him or you debate him, you can bring this out if you remember or whatever, or just listen to some episodes of Soteriology 101 where he does interview this Armenian guy named David Paulman, and he brings that out saying, like, I don't see that in Scripture. I just see that the Word of God is sufficient. And then David Paulman asks him a question, well, Mr. Flowers, and it sounds like you're just saying it's information. And Layton used an example. He says, I have my friend's book. My friend's book enlightened me on what he was saying. Now, Calvinism, Reformed theology, even on historical Arminianism, and Lutheranism, what they mean by illumination is something totally different.
Right. Well,
Lady Flowers is
using. Have you got a question? You know, because.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk so long. Am I missing? Like, my question is, like, am I missing what he's trying to say? And just that.
Well,
the Word of God is sufficient.
Well, I don't know what he means by that.
Sufficient,
because,
like, in what?
Because the Bible says the Word of God is sufficient, you know, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. So insufficient in what sense? It's not sufficient in and of itself, as though if you read it, it has power in itself to save you.
Yes, sir.
The power of salvation rests in God who regenerates us. And that's where it
yes,
rests.
Sir.
Now, the gospel is the power of God to salvation because it's talking about the resurrection of Christ. But this is from eternal decree of God. And so, you know, the Bible's inspired, extremely powerful. It accomplishes what God desires. But what Layton does, and I've recently talked to some people about him, and, you know, maybe he's listening, and I think I've got his cell number. Maybe we can talk. We can set up a debate sometime. But what Layton does, in my opinion, is he elevates man and reduces God. And that's it. So, you know, that's what Arminianism does. You know, man's free will, man's ability, man's choice, libertarian free will, that kind of stuff. And it's not not God's sovereign choice, not God's sovereign election from eternity. It's not that. It's your ability. And that's you just keep going down the road. That is, it avalanches down the road. It becomes cultic. And I'm not saying he's a cultist. I'm not saying he's, you know, not a Christian.
Oh no, I understand, but I don't see his view any different from the gentleman you last debated. His name was Warren.
He's a Pelagian. He's a Pelagian.
I'm not even going to get into all that. Like, because when you were defining the terms to him and the things he was saying, I was like, the dude is just saying what Matt is saying, and the guy's saying, no, I'm not saying what Matt's saying, but I'm like, everybody's hearing what you're saying.
That's right.
You know, but that's right. It's whatever.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
that's good. I didn't mean to talk for so long. I was just trying to see that you
it's
understand.
Okay, brother.
How?
It's all right.
Huh?
No problem, buddy. Appreciate it. Call back tomorrow, okay?
All right.
All right. All right, man. God bless. Okay. That was Martin from Louisiana. Let's get on the phones with Jesse from Chicago. Hey, Jess, welcome. Or Jesse or Jess. Welcome.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Doing all right, by God's great, incredible, that's consistent
awesome.
Grace.
That's awesome. Yeah, amen. Amen. We did talk for a little bit when I was at your 25-year anniversary.
20-year anniversary.
JL. I showed up as JL on YouTube. Just saying hi, anyway. My question has to do with the authority, because I've been having this long conversation with my brother.
I'm hearing a lot of ticking. I'm hearing ticking, constant ticking.
I'm just walking down the street. I'm not sure. Maybe I can.
Okay, that's all right.
I'm walking down the street here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, once you get one place and. Yeah. Okay.
I'll just stop for a second. Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
And one of the things that the. And I feel like it might be a similar issue that the Roman Catholics have, and that is it's an issue with authority, in which obviously Christ is head of the church, but I'm trying to understand their obsession with authority and what you think the best verses are to speak against the authority issue. Now, I think there's individual issues that I can go into quite well in the Bible, but there's some issues with this authority thing which I don't have like a really good answer for.
You mean in Mormonism?
What do you think? Yeah, in the LDS Church. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're obsessed with it, like for baptism and things like that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. The reason they say they have to have authority is because they want to have the authority resting in their church. And their prophets, their apostles, because their church is the true church. And like any group that says they are the restored church or the true church, they then also must have the authority. And if you want things to be done right, you have to go to their church organization and the people who man their church organization. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, same thing. Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, all the same thing. And so the final authority is not the Word of God. The final authority is their church. And so because it's not the Word of God that's authoritative, then they'll believe most anything that their authoritative church structure over them tells them to believe. And that's how it works.
Right.
That's what a cult is. Okay, and false.
Okay.
All right. So Jesus is our Lord. Now, one of the things that is worth looking at is 1 Peter 3:15. Which is a famous verse for apologetics. Always give an answer to everyone who would ask you. But it says at the beginning of the verse, let's sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Well, what does it mean to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts? It means that he is the sovereign king. He's prophet, priest, and king. These are the offices that Jesus holds. He's the prophet because he spoke for God and prophesied. He's the priest because he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's a king because, he's a king. And we can get into the scriptures about that. So he holds these offices, and Jesus says, come to me, Matthew 11:22 or 23. And what I say to people is, your authority rests not in you and not in Jesus, but in your church. No, Jesus gave the authority to the church. That's what they all say. And they tackle that. No, I say, that's what all the groups say, that you know, they have
their authority.
So I say, what Jesus said was, come to me. Why would Jesus say, come to me, if you have to go to your church for authority?
Right.
And that's,
right.
You know, that's a good question.
Okay. It's that simple. It's that simple. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate
it's
that.
Not Matthew 11:23. One second.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
You know, I got, it's Matthew 11:28. I have been messing that up lately. I've got so many verses in my head. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and 29. So this is what it is. We're supposed to go to Christ.
Awesome.
Okay? Not some church authority.
Yeah.
All right?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Matt.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Let's get to Lawrence from Missouri. Lawrence, welcome. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We got about a minute, 2 minutes in the show. What do you got, man?
Okay. I asked a Catholic apologist the other day, what is the theological significance of Mary's perpetual virginity as you hold it? What does that mean? What's the point of it? What does that do for my salvation?
Well, it'll affect your salvation, they will say, because she has to be completely pure through her whole life. She was without sin her whole life, and therefore you can pray to her and she can intercede. In fact, I talked to a Catholic woman in a Catholic church yesterday about this, and that's what she said. Well, don't you know, once over your father, you go to the mother,
right? Is that what it means to them?
That her virginity is a sign of her purity throughout her whole life. And her sinlessness, which enables people to go to her and ask her for things instead of going to Christ.
Okay.
So it's idolatrous.
Okay. But you know what he told me?
What?
He told me that this is an infallible teaching of the church, and you reject it, you go to hell. Yes, he told me that.
Just say, where's that in the Bible?
Oh,
I just asked him, did you read that in the book of Non-Sensicus?
I was so flabbergasted, I forgot that. I couldn't even ask him that. I mean, are you serious, dude? I was flabbergasted.
Yeah. First Non-Sensicus, right next to Second Moronicles. Yeah, it's, you know, it's just, they say this stuff, and it's like, well, where is it in the Bible? It's not in the Bible.
Where is that?
Make it up. Yeah, I didn't make it up. The Mormon Catholic Church
is not
really
like the Bible,
Christian.
Right then.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, Lawrence. God bless, man. Hey, folks, we're out of time. Hey, may the Lord bless you, and by His grace, look back on there tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless.